This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone, on the go, is Michael Tilley. He is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers business, politics, culture, and more for the KUAF listening area. How is your Thursday thus far?
Well, thus far, we're not at 104 yet, so it's so far so good.
There you go. Sales tax revenue up just about across the board in our region.
Yes, in Northwest Arkansas, we continue to see gains in sales tax collections, and that may not be a surprise to anyone. That market, the Northwest Arkansas market, is one of the few metro areas, not only in the state but in the country, that continues to do well, where consumers haven't pulled back. They're seeing huge gains, double-digit gains, especially in Bentonville. A majority of that is still tied to the influx of visitors at Crystal Bridges, but I suspect even without that, they would still be ahead of the game. In the Fort Smith area, thankfully, the city of Fort Smith sales tax collections and their portion of the countywide sales tax collection was up in June, and that fortunately, that ended a two-month slide. It was beginning to look like a bad trend in that area. One, 2 months really doesn't show anything. If you see a three-month pattern, especially with sales tax numbers like this, it could show that consumers had pulled back. And hopefully June is not an aberration.
Well, and like you mentioned, Bentonville and Rogers, and that's still, many people think, the Crystal Bridges effect, up 11%. But the numbers, Fayetteville up 7 and Siloam Springs up better than a percentage point. That's good news for everybody.
Right. Yeah, their year-to-date numbers, think about Fayetteville. Springdale gets some of it, but they're up, have healthy increases for the year, and the football season hasn't even started yet. So City of Fayetteville has that to look for in terms of collections.
There is now a story that you posted on thecitywire.com late last night is up there about Walther Arms coming
yes.
to Fort Smith. They're coming perhaps for a short time, perhaps longer?
Well, the press release was somewhat vague. Walther Arms was purchased by Umarex, for both German-based companies. The purchase back in 1993 or 98, Umarex built this facility, a nice office and warehouse distribution facility at Chaffee Crossing. Opened it in 2009, I believe. Very nice, modern complex. And Smith & Wesson had branded and distributed Walther Arms. And you remember Walther Arms, very popular line. A lot of the gun enthusiasts will know that James Bond character always carries the handgun, the Walther Arms made handgun. I think Walther and Smith & Wesson had somewhat of a falling out, and so Walther's just going to do its own branding and distributing through Umarex. And the press release said it's a temporary headquarters was there with on the Umarex campus, as they called it. But they said they would be looking for a more permanent facility. And it was too late last night for me to try to get in touch with chamber officials, and I haven't been able to talk to them yet this morning. But it'll be interesting to see what the city, Fort Smith, and Fort Smith Chamber folks do to try to turn that temporary moniker into a permanent one.
You would imagine that there would be some sort of effort.
I would be very disappointed if there wasn't.
What does this mean as far as, even if it's just temporary, as far as jobs and workforce?
Well, I didn't get the numbers, but I know that Umarex had hoped to be up to 100. They started with about 40 jobs, and they had hoped to be up to about 120 within 3 years. And that 3 year window is, we're getting close to that. So I don't know the number. I think we can safely say if it becomes a permanent corporate headquarters in the U.S. for Walther, that's job security number one. I mean, it keeps hopefully it keeps that place there for a long time. And I can't imagine that they would have to move more marketing and distributing operations there without increasing the workforce.
There is the looming storm on the horizon between perhaps the governor and some Democrats and some Republicans, and that is the question over expanded Medicaid in Arkansas. Some Republican legislators have written a letter to the Department of Human Services, as well as the governor and some other members of his administration, saying, wait, slow down on the expansion. And there were some requests for some things to be included in the expansion, including random drug testing in the workplace.
Right. And, this is the GOP leadership among the legislators sent this letter. I think there are five. And, Kyle, the legislative races, the election in November for the Arkansas legislature was already going to be hot, or it is already hot. you know, because there's a chance the Republicans could capture one or both houses of the legislature. It'd be the first time, if they control either, it would be the first time since post-Reconstruction. Now we throw in this controversial potential expansion of Medicaid through the new federal health care law, and it just ratchets up the politics even more. And yes, that's what these Republican legislators are saying, hey, hold on, we don't have to rush on this. We need to find out more about what our long-term obligations are going to be. So let's wait and learn more. And they are asking for some other, what they call reforms for fraud, look for fraud, waste, and abuse, drug testing, and those type of things. So, you know, if you're a fan of politics in Arkansas, this is a just, you're sitting on the edge of your seat, because this is fixing to get fun. I'm not sure fun is good, but it's going to get interesting.
It seems that there's the potential for the regular session of the legislature to really get bogged down if this gets incredibly contentious.
Yeah, you know, I've talked to some lobbyist people who are much more familiar with the process than I, and they say they don't see it getting to that Washington-style gridlock, but they do not deny that it could truly get bogged down like it's never been bogged down before in Arkansas legislative history.
Finally, there was a report this week from the A&P Commission in Fort Smith about the fiscal health of the convention center, and according to this report, it's a bit better.
Right, you know, and this is one of those ongoing, of course, the controversy is somewhat muted since the 1% prepared food tax failed, but the Fort Smith Convention Visitors Bureau, since they've taken over management, changed a few things, they have improved the financials. You know, again, I want to stress the convention center, as all convention centers are around the country, they're not built to make money. I mean, they're built to draw people into town so that the regional economy can grow and can benefit from those clean tourism dollars. But thankfully, we're seeing improvement in finances, improvement in overall operation. They're not huge improvements, Kyle, but it's better than the other direction. And I wouldn't be surprised if we get 2 or 3 years of this improvements, and if it continues, I wouldn't be surprised if the city comes back and says, look, you know, we figured out, we've done a lot of the things that the opponents of the 1% prepared food tax said we need to do. Let's try this again. I know I'm really crystal balling on that, but I don't be surprised if that comes about.
All right. Michael Tilley is the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers politics, business, and more for the KUAF listening area. Thank you very much.
All right. Good to talk to you.